This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I don't really treat the game like a game. I treat it as like a job, and it's for feeding my family. So if a guy, I feel like somebody's doing something to injure, I feel like he's taking food out of my daughter's mouth or my wife's. So I take that to heart. So it drives me insane.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why didn't you ever own a pro sports team?
I feel like I do.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
High fly ball into deep left center field. That might be enough. It is. Cleared the wall, and the Dodgers get their first hit, and it's a home run.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Stop it.
Oh, boy. Happy birthday, dear Swigard.
Uh-oh.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Thank you, boys.
I got to say,
it's going to be a costly present,
right there,
though. I hope nobody was listening.
you know everybody was singing along.
You know that song's copyrighted, right?
Oh, is it? Did we get fired for that?
No, but you might have to write a healthy check.
Well, that's a good start to the Thursday.
Well, welcome so, in. Happy
so
Thursday
I appreciate that.
Hey, you're welcome, man.
Happy birthday, Jason.
I gotta say,
Swigard.
Hey, if we get fired for singing that song, I think we got a future in the music business.
Boy, of all things to get fired for, are you kidding me?
We were in harmony there. You were kind of going high. I was going low. We were finding the right octaves.
Harmonizing homosexuals there, right there, my man. That's what I'm talking about.
Can that be the name of our duo?
Yeah, let's call our duo that.
Okay, I like that.
Happy Thursday to everybody out there. Happy birthday to one Jason Swigard. He's turning 55 today.
That's just me.
He is now eligible.
That's just me.
For the 4 p.m. dinner special at IHOP. So,
yeah, he's getting those senior discounts from now on. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not that proud. Bring on the discounts.
If you're wondering why we sound a little different today, it's because we're live out at the Winco Foods Portland Open presented by Kraft Heinz out here at Pumpkin Ridge, the Witch Hollow side, for the Web.com tour. We come out here every time. It is a great time. A lot of people walking around right now. Golfers getting ready on the greens just to my left. I was told in an email we didn't have to whisper, so that's good news.
Yeah, I mean, the golfers are right next to us. They're warming up, getting ready to play today. So we will be bothering them over the next 3 hours, and hopefully we don't ruin too many rounds today.
Yeah, so we got a great show in store for you today. At the top of the 1 o'clock hour, we've got Cary Yeager's Portland Tribune. He's going to join us. We mentioned that last week. Every Thursday at 1 o'clock, Cary Yeager is going to join us throughout the college football season. And at 1:30, and this is kind of where we need help from you, some of the listeners out there, Brad Evans of Yahoo Sports, he's the fantasy football guru. He's going to join the show. We'll talk some fantasy football with Brad Evans. If you have any fantasy football questions, you can text him at the fan text line at 55305. We will try to ask some of those questions to Brad Evans.
Yeah, I mean, get some strategy from him. It's going to be fun to talk to him. And that's kind of the theme of our show. From yesterday, we had our big draft party last night out at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, and now we're going to continue it. I know a lot of people are probably starting their drafts here soon, as we're a couple of weeks away from the season. So you usually want to wait as long as you can to make sure guys don't go down with season-ending injuries, or you take somebody with a second-round pick and they blow out an ACL in the preseason. But it should be fun, and we'll get some fantasy questions answered.
Yeah, I do have to say thank you, first of all, to all the listeners out there. Yesterday's third annual Dirt and Sprague fantasy football event couldn't have been a smashing success without you, the listeners. We had a great time interacting not only with the league that we were in, but also kind of meandering around and talking to some of the other listeners that were joined in, maybe the Mike Lynch, the Rashads, the Luke and Keith, the Alex Crawford, the Swigard leagues out there. We really appreciate you showing up. It was almost 100% full. which with that kind of event, you never know who's going to show up, who's not. Thank you a million times over to the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. I thought that was a fantastic setup by them. Really well done. I loved being in there. I thought it was a really cool location as well. And thank you to Ron Tonkin Chevrolet, because without you, none of this is possible. So thank you to everybody involved in the event. Alicia, you did a great job. The promo team did a great job. Thank you to everybody that was a part of our third annual fantasy football draft last night. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah, I really, there's not a whole lot else to add. We have a great time at that event every year. And if you haven't done it yet, you should do it next year. We don't just say that just to say it. It's just a lot of fun. We get to know the listeners. It's fun to be in the leagues with them and kind of interact. And we talk trash back and forth as we're drafting. Mine actually went pretty quick and everybody kind of zoned in as soon as the draft officially started at 6:30. And it was so cool to kind of check out a new venue. I hadn't been over to the Independent Sports Bar and Grill since they kind of revamped it recently, and it was a blast. Damian and the guys over there were awesome. They treated us so well, and I know every listener that I talked to that was there last night just kind of raved about the experience, raved about the bar, and everybody had a great time. So a sincere thank you to all the listeners for showing up. I know parking wasn't great. It was kind of a last-second thing for some of you of trying to fill leagues here in the last 48 hours, and it's not easy to get away from the family and the honey-to-do list for a couple hours on a Wednesday night. So thank you to everybody who showed up, the Independent Sports Bar and Grill and Ron Tonkin Chevrolet.
Yeah, the fine folks out at both of those establishments. I got made fun of a little bit for my team. So my phone was kind of on the fritz, and for some reason my laptop was acting weird. So of everybody there, I'm pretty confident I was the only one. For whatever reason, I kept getting disconnected from the Wi-Fi.
You were that guy last night.
Yeah, I really was. Yeah. And so there were like three or four picks of my whole team that got auto-picked, which that always sucks because sometimes it's good. Like in the beginning, I think the computer does a good job.
Well, and sometimes the rankings are just off, though. Like I would look at certain guys in the ESPN queue in terms of how they rank guys, and it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
A lot of it's based on what they did the year prior versus the system they're in now, and that doesn't always match up. But I got made fun of a little bit, and I think a lot of listeners got a kick out of my one of my picks was the kicker for the Bucks, Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah, you took him. After getting booed in practice, you went like Mr. Irrelevant, snatched him late in the draft.
Actually, it wasn't really that late. He was probably like my 10th pick, but I think a lot of people made fun of me because of the reason that he's been booed in practice. He's been inconsistent. He hired like a mental coach to help him get through whatever he's going through.
To get rid of the yips.
Look, I maintain somebody had to take him. I maintain that when he starts the season 10 for 10, nobody's going to be laughing at me.
Everybody's going to snatch him up.
He's getting it out of the way now. This is what preseason's for, Dirt. You get it out of the way now.
That's not a bad strategy. I still don't think I would take him. I didn't go kicker until super late. We have differing strategies, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show, that most people go running back early, and I ended up with the third overall pick. Wasn't feeling great about that. I hate that spot. I would rather be either number one or at the end of the first round, so you get that snake kind of back-to-back picks at the end of the first and the start of the second. But P1 Tanner ended up going Cam Newton, first overall pick in our draft. And that was just kind of a curveball that I was not expecting.
You think that's a controversial pick?
No, I wanted Cam Newton at number three.
Yeah.
I would have taken him if he was there. That was my strategy, thinking it would go running back, or maybe somebody would take Antonio Brown or Gronkowski that early. No, Cam Newton was off the board with the first overall pick.
I took Roethlisberger with my first overall pick.
That's not bad. I got Big Ben, too.
Oh, you took Big Ben, too?
He was alive in the second round for me.
Now, there you go. Yeah. I surprised a lot of people. Most people thought I was going to take crab legs because I kept teasing that. I even put it in the chat. Don't
oh,
touch crab
Lord.
Legs.
Oh, dear Lord.
No way. I took Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I did learn every year, for some reason, I think out loud while we're drafting with the P1s. And so I'll kind of start talking about guys that I like or I'm looking at. And next thing I know, like four times last night, somebody picked them right before I could get them. The very pick right before I could get them. I will say, though, my team is set because I ended up taking Andy Dalton.
You took Dalton?
Yeah.
He's never going to play.
Have you seen his regular season numbers?
I dare you to start him over Roethlisberger.
I'll start him over Big Ben. Let's do this thing.
There's no way. No. There's no way it'll happen.
I'm riding the ginger to a championship, and I think you're jealous.
You know, there is an element of fantasy football because we've told you before, if you're P1s of the show, we've told you this before, probably like 4 years ago, like I really wasn't into fantasy football at all. And then we've slowly got into it. Then we decided, hey, you know what would be fun is to have a fantasy draft with listeners. And now, obviously, that thing has taken off. But the thing that I've kind of come to realize is that I hate watching other people make picks. And I feel like when you get a pick, you got to wait. Like, obviously, last night I had to wait 11 turns for me to pick again.
Well, especially if you're early in the first round, and then that's that long stretch before you get back to your pick.
Because it just eats at you. It's like, I want Mike Tolbert. I wanted Mike Tolbert last night because he's going to be a touchdown guy.
Right.
So I'm like sitting there for five picks, and I'm like, don't take him,
don't
take him.
Okay. Don't take him.
But yes, okay. You just sit there with you're sitting on your hands.
You're like looking at everybody around the league, like, nobody's reading my mind, I hope.
Yeah, and I was hoping that nobody was like looking at who I was eyeing on my phone. Like, it's kind of the stressful part of drafting for fantasy football.
Yeah, it is. It was fun, though, last night. It was a great time with all the listeners. We didn't quite close the place down. We have been known to do that in the past at our P1 fantasy football drafts. It didn't quite go all the way until 2 o'clock in the morning, but we were there. We hung out afterwards. A couple of P1 stuck around. Swigard, because it was the night before his birthday, we finished the Giants and Dodgers game, had a kind of a final, if you will, and relaxed. And it was just it was an awesome time. And thanks again to all the people who showed up and made it a great event.
Yeah, Bob in Fairview saying, it was great to meet you. Had a great time yesterday. Anyone who goes to the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, I highly recommend the stout mac and cheese with shredded chicken and bacon.
Ooh.
I did not get that, and that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
right
I just
now.
Chowed. I just chowed down on the nachos last night. Did you see those plates of nachos?
Yeah, somebody ordered a huge plate of nachos.
Holy smokes, it was bigger than like Mount St. Helens, man. That thing lasted like 2.5 hours.
So we're live at the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz, here at Pumpkin Ridge. The tournament underway. At some point, I believe in this hour, the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined potentially by Steven Yeager. I don't like to tease guests unless I know, but I've been told that that's the guest that we're going to get if we do get one. Yeager, if you may remember that name, he was the kid that shot the 58 a few weeks back. Just an unbelievable score. So he may join us at some point. We got a fantastic show. Kerry Yeager's at 1 o'clock. If you have any fantasy football questions for your league, for your draft coming up, you can text at 55305 because we have Brad Evans, Yahoo Sports fantasy football guru, joining us at 1:30. Coming up next, the ultimate troll job in sports, and it comes via the Civil War. We'll explain. You got Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. 12:18, welcome back in on 1080 The Fan, live at Pumpkin Ridge for the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz. Somebody asking if we could post our team somewhere so they can see how we did. I mean, I'd read it, but I don't feel like that's good radio.
I don't know
radio.
If that's good radio. No. Yeah, I mean, maybe we can do that. We can when we have Brad Evans on at 1:30, throw a couple of names out, kind of what some of our roster looks like. I don't know if reading a fantasy team name is good or fantasy players is good radio.
I do have two picks that I instantly regretted after I did it. I feel like they're going to kind of cancel each other out.
Do you end up with Alex Smith again this year?
No.
Oh, dang it.
I got Ben Roethlisberger. The ultimate troll job. I teased this before the break, and I really got a kick out of this. And look, the Civil War rivalry, Oregon-Oregon State, it has not really been much of a rivalry. Now, I'll give Oregon State, had it close last year. I was there. I saw it.
It was a great game,
man. Fun game.
Yeah.
Second half. A couple years back, you remember Mariota, Sean Mannion, and Autzen came down to the end.
He hit Josh Huff for the game-winning touchdown
Huff,
pass.
Yeah, at the go-ahead touchdown. So you've had a couple close contests, but for the most part, it's kind of been blowouts for a while. And Oregon's success is kind of, for sure, overshadowed what Oregon State's been able to do. But I thought today was kind of the cherry on top of maybe bringing back some semblance of the Civil War rivalry. Now, let me explain this. Last night, I get home, I get on Twitter, I'm a little tired, and all I see on social media, Twitter, I saw it on Facebook. So Oregon State players were introduced to their new locker rooms in the Valley Football Center.
Which is a big deal, man. It's a long time coming.
Huge deal, because they were finally they raised enough funds. This had been under construction for a while. The players get introduced. Hey, here's the locker room. And there's video all over the internet. It looks like a great locker room. There's like a hot tub room. There's a sauna. Things most programs have, but programs like Oregon State, it takes them a while to get.
Yeah, they're just a little bit behind some of the other competition.
Yeah, but they were happy. You felt good for the players that they had these great facilities. It was all over Twitter. It was trending at one point. It was all over Facebook. Got like 400 shares. I wake up this morning, and what does the school down the road choose to do?
Did they come up with a baseball program? What did they do?
No, they said, you know what? You had nice locker rooms.
Yeah, it's cute.
Let us introduce you to the Marcus Mariota Performance Center today. And by the way, say what you want to say. there is zero chance I'm buying that that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, they just had this date planned out months in advance. This was when they were going to unveil the new video of the Marcus Mariota Performance Center.
Which, by the way, looks like a Jetsons house.
Look, it was the ultimate troll job, and I just started laughing when I saw that this morning because you're right. When you see the Oregon State one, that's a big moment for that program, and it's something that they just didn't necessarily have in terms of competing with the other Pac-12 schools, and it was a really big deal to them. And Oregon absolutely knew what they were doing, and I love that they did it. I do. I mean, as you mentioned, the football rivalry hasn't been great. I mean, what is it, 8 straight years I think Oregon has won. There have been a couple of—
8 or 9,
eight
yeah.
or 9. There's been some good games in there. The year that it was at Autzen in 09, winner goes to the Rose Bowl. You mentioned the Mannion Mariota year. Last year ended up being a lot closer than people thought. So there have been some good ones, but the rivalry isn't necessarily what it was during that stretch in the 2000s where it was every other year, whoever had home field advantage was winning that game. So anything either program could do to kind of rekindle that hate a little bit and bring the rivalry back to the forefront of people's minds, I'm on board with it. And you're right in terms of looking at that Mariota building and just wondering, what? Why?
Yeah.
Like, what is that for? Well, cause they have so many facilities already to begin with.
Yeah, you named them all, and it was funny because what the hell is that building for?
They got
for?
The Jaqua Center, that's the student tutoring center, or the athlete tutoring center, that looks like a nightclub. If you've never been in it, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They just came out with the Death Star. Was that last year or the year before?
Years ago, yeah.
The big black building that overlooks the practice facility. Like, and now they have an athlete training center. I don't really know what the purpose is, but once again, they have found a way to outdo themselves.
Well, and it's funny because, look, they call it the Performance Center, so I'm sure diehard Duck fan out there would text in a heartbeat and say, well, it's for this and this and that. But all the facilities they already have, which are fantastic, by the way, top of the line in college football, I just found it amusing because part of the rivalry, part of any rivalry, you need it to be a little even. You need the other team to win. You can't just tout good games. You need it to be like, oh, Oregon lost this year, and then Oregon State won
yeah,
that year.
Yeah.
You need it to go back and forth, and they haven't had that on the field in a while.
Right.
But I also found it kind of funny, like, as much attention as a locker room got on Twitter or Facebook, like, Oregon, you don't necessarily need to go there.
No.
You've trolled it enough just by winning every Civil War game since 07. However, they said, F it anyway.
No, yeah, we're doing
it.
We
are going there.
Yeah, we don't care about your little facility. We're going to unveil a new building. What do you think of this one?
And look, I'm the Oregon State alum on the show. I will admit, I'm with you. I loved it because I love when schools go back and forth like that. Those subliminal messages of like, oh, really? You think you're going to one-up us? We're one-upping you. And I thought that's exactly what Oregon did this morning.
Oregon State fans are so upset at the fan text line.
Well, you can't tell me. Like, even if you're a diehard Duck fan, you're the Duck alum.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would imagine that it is. Well, I don't know.
There's no way that's a coincidence.
I haven't talked to anybody.
Zero chance.
I haven't talked to anybody inside the program. I do have a text here from Josh Wilcox that I'll have to read during the commercial break.
We can't read it on air?
Well, we can check it out.
I'm curious what he says. He's got as much information
as
anybody.
He would know. Okay. Wilcox says, Oregon Equipment Room is in there. They just moved into that building on Tuesday. They were planning on opening it today. So he says it's conspiracy theories.
Oh, come on, Wilcox.
He said it's conspiracy theories, man. Yeah, what do you say? You calling out? No.
I'm calling shenanigans.
You're calling shenanigans
here? They could announce this thing on
Tuesday.
Don't
be a little brother. Come on. No, it's fun, though, isn't it? It's fun.
It is.
And it reminds you that football season's right around the corner. And there's just certain things like this that happen throughout the course of the rivalry. And I know another main one that Oregon State fans point to is the baseball program, right? I mean, Oregon never really thought about having a baseball team. All of a sudden, Oregon State wins back-to-back national championships. What do you know? A couple of years later, there's a baseball program at the University of Oregon. So it's always kind of a keeping up with the Joneses. I will say from an Oregon State perspective, awesome moment for their program.
Great moment for them.
It's not easy to raise the kind of money that you need in order to build a facility like that. And they have been trying for years and years and years to get that done. And it kind of shows you. And it reminds you of having that positive thought about where the program's going. Gary Anderson going into year two, the expectations are raised going into year two, the facilities are improving. It just, you kind of feel good about the direction of the program.
Well, and I just always believe there's always going to be a ton of kids that they're going to make the right decision based on their future. Education, maybe going as a pro athlete, and then you're also going to have a ton of recruits who, when you show the Marcus Mariota Performance Center, oh my gosh, I got to go here. I got to sit in that cool chair, right?
Right, right.
Some kids are attracted to the flash, to the substance. or not this up to the Flash and just the items, the materialistic things of Oregon.
Yeah.
But I also believe for Oregon State, because people point this out and it's true, you're playing catch up with almost every program.
You for sure are.
That is a serious contender.
It's not
in college
just
football.
Oregon you're trying to play catch up with. It's a lot of schools around the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's a lot of Pac-12 schools. But I will say this, they are slowly, they're getting to a point of having nice enough facilities where I think if they can start winning with Gary Anderson, some of the flashier things on other campuses for some recruits, it won't matter. It's going to be about success with Anderson, being in a town like Corvallis, having facilities that are pretty damn good, even though they don't compare to some of the other programs.
Yeah.
So even though they are behind, I thought that was a major step for that coaching staff and for the program in terms of where they're going the next 3 to 4 years.
I have to read some of these text messages.
Are we getting a lot of them?
They are just too good to pass up, and we're getting it from both sides. Somebody said,
well, this is what's fun about it, though, isn't it?
It's great. I mean, somebody said, F Oregon and the swoosh bags is all I can say. Somebody's older brother wins again. Hashtag great to be a Duck. Once again, it shows Oregon is a school full of D-bags. Somebody said, that is so Oregon. Classless is as classless does. Somebody said, how's that trip to Omaha going for the baseball program anyways? Getting a baseball shot in there. What else we got? Beavers would get new computers, and the next day the Ducks would hire Bill Gates. kind of summed it up. And Duck fan here, I love that they threw that out right after little brother unveiled their cute locker rooms. It's fun, man. All I can hope for is that Gary Anderson can continue to improve the program and we get another Civil War like we had last year. I still owe you a bet because that game was a lot closer.
Than
people thought of.
The ball's on you to bring that up.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
At some point, I got to throw myself under the bus with that one. But I'm hoping it gets back to that point where it's 2009, you're playing at Autzen or you're playing at
Reeser. Something on the line, right?
And the winner of that game has something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So Oregon State shows their players. There's a big old video all over the internet last night. Their new locker room. It looks fantastic. As they're trying to finish up the Valley Football Center in time for the season. And then Oregon comes out this morning and releases all these videos of the Marcus Mariota Performance Center. I'm calling shenanigans, Wilcox. You heard me, buddy. I'm calling shenanigans. I think this was planned, and I think this was a brilliant move.
Oregon
because this
would never do anything like that.
This is what gets people talking.
It is, yeah.
Let's change it up a little bit. Let's stay with Oregon and kind of the guy responsible for a lot of these facilities, Phil Knight. He was on with Colin Cowherd. He had some interesting things to say, and we'll bring those to you next. Here's Swag with a sports update. All right, welcome back in. It's 12:33 on 1080 The Fan. Really good stuff from a lot of Duck Beaver fans on the fan text line at 55305. You're just tuning in. You're wondering, what the hell are we talking about? We just poked fun and had some fun with noticing. Last night, Oregon State showed their players the new locker rooms. The players loved it. All these videos kind of went viral. They were trending on Twitter, shared on Facebook. And then this morning, Oregon unveils the Marcus Mariota Performance Center. And we just kind of noticed how fun it is when you have two schools that can, you know, Oregon State and the Oregon rivalry and how far back it goes, kind of trying to one-up each other. And I know Will Cox is throwing it out there that they don't care. They had this plan to come out. But I like to sometimes buy into these conspiracy theories. It's just fun to talk about. Some really good text coming in at the fan text line at 55305. A listener saying, what goes up must come down. Texas, Nebraska, and USC were once on top as well.
Oh, okay.
Another one, I'd rather have the school who works hard for everything represent me rather than the spoiled trust fund baby.
That's right. Yeah, because Phil Knight doesn't do anything for the Oregon State Athletic Program.
No, he just pays Pat Casey's salary.
Gotcha.
Another one, I have to say that Dirt should have to get a real tattoo on his butt if the Beavers actually win the Civil War.
Okay, yeah. If you win the Civil War this year, why not? I'll get a tattoo on my butt.
I enjoy this one. I remember my first locker room. Somebody else saying OSU realizes they are a Nike school too, right? And there's a ton. This is like when I was younger. By the time I got a Nintendo, everyone else had a Super Nintendo. So tons of really good feedback at the fan text line at 55305.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's fun talking about the rivalry again. It's fun to get people riled up a little bit, and it's exciting to think that the season starts next week. A week from today, we'll be breaking down Oregon State and Minnesota on a Thursday night.
No doubt. Phil Knight, who is the booster, I should say, for the Oregon Ducks and helping fund all these great facilities they have, he made a rare appearance in the media today. He was on with Colin Cowherd, and I'm not really supposed to set these Q&As up other than to just say, Colin asked him this.
Why Michael Jordan? Well, who sat down? Whose idea to go all in on MJ?
Well, I think basically it was a consensus that, first of all, he was the player of the year in the NCAA. And so by that time, we had a group of college coaches that were on our staff that we had endorsements with, and they were unanimous in saying this is the guy. And so there wasn't anybody that disagreed that Jordan was the one that we were going to go in with. And so it it's worked really well, but it wasn't controversial inside Nike. He was going to be the guy. But I will say this. Well, we were right, but we didn't know we were that right.
I thought that was really good stuff from Phil Knight. There's an element of that that I think you kind of wonder, did it really go down quite like that? Anybody that watched, I think it was the 30 for 30 on the Sonny Vaccaro shoe industry.
Yes.
The huge sticking point of that documentary, it stuck out for me, was his kind of retelling of the Jordan story. And some people could call BS on his version because he's no longer a Nike guy and he left for Adidas, etc. But he had a kind of a different version of basically he wanted to put everything in Jordan. A lot of people questioned him on that. They wondered, are you sure about this? They didn't know.
Right.
He was positive it was a slam dunk thing to do. They met at some random cabin in the middle of God knows where, decided to do it. They met with Jordan. They gave him his first signature shoe. And the rest is history. So there's a little part of that that I wonder, is that 100% on Phil, or is maybe Sonny Vaccaro recanting some memories of that?
There's a lot of things that are revisionist history.
I think know.
When you get to that point in
especially
life.
Especially so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, what, 30 years ago now at this point that they were going through that process, maybe even longer than that, of him coming out of North Carolina. The same thing kind of happened in his book. It's just going to happen. But hearing Phil Knight talk about that, it is funny, and it's amazing to think the direction of that company and what happened to Nike with basically the simple signing of one player and how big he became.
You know, it's funny too, because other shoe companies like Converse with Dr. J.
Well, Converse was made, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Converse have Magic and Bird too in the 80s?
They did have Bird
they
and
had
Magic
the Bird
in the 80s.
Shoe and the Magic shoe and during that big rivalry.
Jordan also wore Converse in college.
Yes.
Before he had signed with Nike. But it's funny because, look, the six titles and kind of the way the career went, it did work out. You just wonder, like, if Nike would have given this to another huge athlete, let's take Bird or his counterpart there. Is it the same thing, same result of that shoe just lives on and becomes one of the biggest selling shoes of all time? Or is it just specific to Jordan? Phil Knight was asked about another NBA player.
Were you ever wrong on something? On a sport, on a brand, on an athlete?
Well, one of my great ones, which I mentioned in the book, is that I'm the visionary that said Magic Johnson will never make it in the NBA.
What didn't you like?
Well, I said that he's a player without a position. He's too big to be a point guard, and he's not a power forward.
Yeah. Do you remember the day that you figured out you were wrong on that one?
Yeah, about two games in.
How about that, admitting you didn't think Magic Johnson, arguably the greatest player of all time, was going to make it in the NBA?
Hey, we've played that game before, though, haven't we?
Yeah.
Where we just think back to an opinion maybe we had on a player
absolutely,
in any sport.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And they completely prove you wrong. Look, Magic Johnson, maybe people think that's kind of a bad whiff, but I kind of see his point at that time. You didn't really have anything like Magic. You'd never seen it. And sometimes
he was so unique. He
was
so different.
We're not sure about the unknown, you know?
It is funny to go back and think about those. I know a big one for both of us is Klay Thompson. Both of us are in agreement. Watching Klay Thompson in Washington State, just didn't see it. I mean, good shooter, good college player, but to turn into one of the most prolific three-point shooters in the NBA, didn't see that coming in a million years.
Yeah, so Phil Knight on with Colin Cowherd talking about Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. And I enjoyed this kind of response in regards to being maybe an owner.
Why didn't you ever own a pro sports team?
I feel like I do.
You own all of them.
Well, no, but I have all the highs and lows of an owner now without actually having to buy a team.
Isn't that great?
First of all, Colin totally, did not pick up on that.
He totally whiffed that organ line right there. Because he does. I mean, he basically does own a program. You know, we had one of our P1s text in about, you know, going back to the Oregon State thing and saying, you know, it was cool watching all the Oregon State players thank the donors as they were kind of unveiled inside the new practice facility last night. And he said, I bet the Duck players didn't do that. I mean, really, a lot of it comes from Phil Knight. Phil Knight is the owner of Oregon football. And, you know, people sometimes try to make fun of that, and they try and make that a joke. But I don't think too many Duck fans complain. Like, if that's the best he got to hit Oregon fans with and hit the Oregon program with, I think they're okay with taking that. It is Nike University, and Phil Knight never shies away from that.
You know, that is, though, I think the biggest – that's going to be one of the biggest sticking points for sports fan in the Northwest. Now, if you're just like a Duck football fan or – just a Duck fan in general, you don't really root for anything else, you don't have much interest outside of that, you're fine with how everything's gone down. In fact, you're ecstatic. But if you're kind of just a Northwest sports fan, right, NFL, baseball, Blazers, I think there's always going to be that element of, like, wishing that he would have stepped up.
Absolutely.
In different moments.
Absolutely, in the city of Portland there is. He's got the money to do it. He's got the power to do it. And if Phil Knight ultimately ever did want to put his weight behind bringing a professional sports team to Portland,
he'd get it done.
He'd get it done in a heartbeat. But to a certain extent, I can't really knock him for it for a lot of reasons. I mean, he's got, as Colin mentioned, he didn't get the joke, but he did take it in another direction. He owns all – I mean, how many of the major athletes does he have his name on? How many of the major leagues does he have his name on? The team – I mean, Nike is everywhere. It's a global brand. So I understand to a certain point, but there's no doubt. There's always that kind of desire that he would do something. And there's always been a rumor surrounding my old high school because Phil Knight went to Cleveland High School.
Oh, look, here comes the humble brag, ladies and gentlemen.
No, there isn't a humble brag there. We went to the same high school. And there's always
been... Was he going
to
sign you out of high school?
I mean, he did. He pushed pretty hard, but I went with New Balance instead.
Did you guys have Nike gear?
No, we didn't.
That's kind of embarrassing.
The rumor was always that he had offered to kind of renovate everything inside Cleveland High School, new gym, new football field. If you remember, Cleveland didn't get lights for a long time. We used to play our games at Friday at 4 o'clock.
I remember those, yes.
But his only demand, apparently, and this is just an old conspiracy theory, I don't know how much truth there is to it, the old story is that he demanded they be called the Cleveland Knights. That he wanted his...
Oh, and they wouldn't change from
the
Warriors?
He wanted his last name to be the mascot, and he said, if you do that, I'll pony up lots of money and help out all your athletic programs and my alma mater. And apparently the high school said no.
Wait, did he want his face on like a knight riding a horse?
I would have given him whatever the hell he wanted for a state-of-the-art football high school
facility.
I would
have called him the Cleveland Phil Knights.
called him the Cleveland Nikes. I don't care. Just give me a new practice field.
I hope that story's true. I have a hard time believing it is, but I hope that story's true. Because aside from, he's right. He's got the Duck program. He doesn't really have to worry about much. He can do what he wants. He's a billionaire. He earned his own money. Spend it how he wants. But he is really good in the community, and I think that's kind of the overlooked part as well.
He's not great overseas, but yeah, he does some, does some good stuff.
We weren't talking about internationally.
Okay. Hey, at least he put the nets up, right?
Well, you got the Cancer Center.
He does a lot for charity here locally.
Does a ton for charity locally. But anytime Phil Knight gets to talk to the media, I'm always interested. He did write that book. Every Nike employee got one of those, and I enjoyed his interview. On with Colin Cowherd this morning. I was just texted that Kerry Eggers is going to come and stop by live.
Oh, look at that. Kerry's in the building today. I like him.
So he may be here in 10 minutes or so. If he is, we may just throw him on and say, who cares? Let's just go 25 minutes with you. But what do you want to go with next? Do you want to do NFL? Let's talk some NFL. There's a story out in the NFL. I tend to believe it's not that big of a deal, but people are running away with the headline anyway. We'll explain what it is next. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in. It is 12:48 on 1080 The Fan. Hope your Thursday afternoon is going well. We're live at the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz, out of Pumpkin Ridge, Witch Hollow. Fantastic weather, a little warm.
Yeah, the I'm not going to lie. The swamp ass is in full effect today.
Well, nobody really needed to know that.
I want to paint a picture for you. I'm wearing all black, and that probably wasn't a great idea. No, and tomorrow I'm contemplating going shirtless out here.
That's not a picture anybody wanted painted.
The last time Swigard and I did a show together, we went shirtless.
That's right, in the cooler.
That happened. We did the Cooling for the Cause show. You were out with your newborn child, so Swigard and I had to brave the cold temperatures of the cooler, and we did a segment shirtless.
It is beautiful out here. I'm trying to go away from this conversation from dirt because I know there's no listener out there remotely interested in him being naked.
You don't want that visual?
No, I don't think anybody does. But it's fantastic out here. Web.com tour. It's basically a PGA Tour event to me. There's so many great players out here vying for the money list to get their PGA Tour card.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that it is a PGA. I mean, because you come out here and you get to know some of the names and you get to follow some of the leaders, and these guys end up getting tour cards. And we've been doing this now. I believe this is the third year that we've been out here broadcasting live at this event. And every year, there's a couple of names that stand out while you're walking around here at Pumpkin Ridge. And the next year, you're turning on a golf tournament on a Saturday, a PGA event. And there you go. There's names that you recognize from the Winco Foods Portland Open, and that's what's kind of cool about it.
Yeah, so we're live out here. You can go get tickets. Come on out. It's going to be a fantastic event. We were talking with Jeff Sanders, who kind of runs this whole thing. And he's the big wig. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. And tickets are just, they're going quick. So if you want to come out and catch some PGA Tour golf, get some tickets now and come on out to Pumpkin Ridge. I saw a headline this morning, and of course people kind of run away with like, oh, it's a done deal. And I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit.
Why? Let's overreact.
The headline was, Oakland Raiders file to trademark Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. The name, the Oakland Raiders have filed for 4 trademarks this month for Las Vegas Raiders. Which is obviously one of the destinations, the destination they really want to go to. And so people are now naturally, because they file those trademarks, saying, hey, it's a done deal. They're going to go to Vegas. However, pump the brakes, because if you may remember, the Chargers did this as well. This is precautionary. Teams have to do this if they're potentially going to move.
Yeah, I'm with you. It'd be a lot of fun to overreact and talk about how they're going to Vegas. I still expect it to happen at some point. Oakland is just at such a standstill with their stadium situation, whether it's the A's or it's the Raiders. They need to figure out a solution, and they're not going to be able to. And I really think over the next 5 or so years, we will see both of those organizations moving out of the city. The city just doesn't have the money to pony up and renovate or rebuild a stadium. So at some point, this is going to happen. Las Vegas is a perfect fit. Now the LA is somewhat out of the window because the Rams returning to Los Angeles. At some point, they're going to go to Vegas. But you're right, in terms of this is just getting ahead of it and making sure somebody else doesn't file for the trademark, because it's just smart business.
You know, there are some people that are actually in this industry, not media, but in the industry of buying or getting trademarks so people have to buy them from them. I woke up this morning, I go, why did I not trademark Las Vegas Raiders and try to, you know, get $75,000 from Mark Davis and get it from the Oakland Raiders and just sell it to them?
It'd be a great idea, a great business plan.
I'm surprised nobody did that.
It's funny because we were up in Seattle a couple weeks ago doing a show from Seahawk camp, and we were talking because that day the news came out about how Texas A&M and the Seahawks kind of reached an agreement on the 12th man terminology, and Texas A&M is the owner of the 12th man trademark. But then you kind of read into the article and you realized quickly how many different trademarks Seattle had around. They had the 12s, just the number 12, 12ers. I mean, they had a bunch of different trademarks just surrounding it. A lot of them that they don't use. It was just simply for the business purposes.
Yeah, so a lot of people this morning wake up and they see the headline that the Raiders have registered the trademark Las Vegas Raiders. And so naturally it's like, this is the last year in Oakland. By the way, they've had multiple committee meetings in Vegas. Just an update on that. And the renderings have come out now of a potential stadium in Vegas. And I'm just going to tell you, we'll try to tweet this out with our show page, at Dirt and Sprague. Give us a follow. We'll follow you back. It looks badass.
It's Vegas, man.
They may never go to Vegas, Dirt, but I'm telling you, that stadium needs to be built.
just cussing.
Just build that stadium.
Just build the arena in Vegas. If you build it, they will come.
Absolutely.
Yeah, at some point, they're going to get a team.
You think they will?
I do. I just that market, especially with the way we're kind of going in this country in terms of becoming more pro-gambling, if you will, I think we're just inching towards it. I make the comparable a lot of times. To marijuana, and just I think both those issues are going in the same direction in this country, and the further we go in that direction, the easier it's going to be, the less taboo of a topic that it becomes. And at some point, I expect it to be the Raiders, whether it's 2 years from now, 5 years from now. I don't know how long it's going to take. It's too good of a fit to pass up.
All right, let me Sprague the line with you on something. We're going to Sprague the line a little early this week because I'm actually out tomorrow doing Hood to Coast, so it's going to be swag and dirt out here at Pumpkin Ridge for the Winco Foods Portland Open. Let's Sprague the line on this right now.
Okay, what do you got?
More likely to happen. What happens first?
Okay.
The Chargers leave San Diego or the Raiders leave Oakland?
Raiders leave Oakland.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Why do you think that?
I'm ballparking it. Oh. You didn't give me any odds. I just think it's more likely Oakland's the first one to leave. They've done more flirting, if you will. There's been more public reports about them looking at places. The Davis family has been in Las Vegas many a times. They've met with billionaire casino people over there. So they seem to have a plan in place of what they want to do.
You know, the other thing, the other part of it, too, to me, is the Chargers don't seem to be in love with the L.A. concept because they were with the Raiders in the stadium proposal, and they lost.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be in, but the community is ultimately where it's going to go to a vote, and they'll find out if they're going to be in L.A. or they're going to stay in San Diego and get a new stadium. You know what I think the Raiders' difference is they – the Chargers would make this argument too, but I think the Raiders more so are their own brand. They want to stand alone. They don't want to – because whoever goes to L.A.
– they don't want to share a stadium with the Rams.
You'll be second fiddle. You really will. Now, you can make an argument if it was the Raiders. They had a good foothold in L.A. as well, probably better than the Rams. But I just feel like the Raiders want their own. You know what I mean? They want to be in their own new market or get a new stadium in Oakland, which doesn't look very likely. So I would actually pick the – I would probably pick the Raiders for that matter.
Yeah.
Because I just – Oakland doesn't seem to be any closer to getting a new stadium. We've mentioned the funding there before. They don't want to spend any of the money from schools, from police to parks, etc. And Mark Davis in the NFL, we know how they treat stadiums. The city should be paying for more than half of it. Oakland's not down with that idea.
No.
And that's kind of the crux of Vegas as well. But I just feel like that's more likely than anything else.
Well, and a lot of listeners pointing out we should start trademarking the Portland A's. Let's do this thing, huh? Trademark the Portland A's. Maybe it's going to happen. Bring a big league baseball to Portland.
Hey, I'm looking right now, and it says sell your trademark, ustrademarkexchange.com.
Has anybody trademarked Portland? Listeners, don't do it. Sprague and I got dibs on that thing.
Don't do it. Please don't do it.
We're going to make millions of dollars when the A's move to Portland.
By the way, you can buy a trademark for like $100.
That's all it costs?
Can you imagine that turnaround?
I'm trademarking dirt.
Actually, don't know if that's 100% accurate. It's just one of his websites says trademark for $99.
If you saw it on the internet, it's got to be true.
A listener saying, Colin had somebody on from San Diego. You should hear what that guy said. I missed it, so I don't know what that guy said. I do know for both cities, though. It's a Sprague and Line pick. It's either Oakland or it's going to be San Diego of moving. Our guess is as good as anybody else's. But
yeah.
I do know right now for both Oakland and San Diego, both cities, both residents don't really want to fork over the amount of money that they're kind of being asked to.
Right.
So the Oakland Raiders trademark the name Las Vegas Raiders. Hey, Kerry Eggers is set to join the show every Thursday at 1 o'clock for the football season. He texted me about 20 minutes ago, said he was 15 minutes away. Haven't seen him yet. But I believe he'll be here by the time we come back. We'll kick off Hour 2 with Kerry Eggers, Portland Tribune, on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.